This is Dr. What? Dr. Where? Stories of Rural Medicine. It's the podcast exploring what it's like to live, work, and train in rural medicine across regional Victoria. As part of their studies at Monash Rural Health, all medical students complete a six-week scholarly intensive placement during their final year. These SIP placements allow you to focus on a particular medical or professional practice issue in depth. This is done by taking part in scholarly activities such as analysing relevant literature, collecting data, reviewing policies, or developing new resources. Here's Dr. Rachel Sultana, a junior doctor in Gippsland who has completed a SIP this year, to share a little bit about her experience.
So it's a requirement for all Monash final year students. And then given that I was in the Monash Rural Health down in Gippsland, that sort of area, we were given an opportunity to sort of express some of our interests. And then from there, they helped organise a project that would be tailored a bit more to something that we'd be interested in and matched where our location was. But then we also had a bit more flexibility in that being rural, we could do a lot more remote projects. So mine was a project that was based in Bendigo, but in Gippsland, I was still able to do it.
Can you tell me what that sort of matching process was like, given that the supervisor is sort of the one that's leading the research project? How did you go finding a project that kind of matched the research interests that you were keen to pursue?
Mm-hmm. So we were very fortunate that Monash organised all that for us. We had Bernadette Ward that was the main organiser for the Monash Rural Health ones. And so she set us up with a supervisor. My chief supervisor was Rebecca Kippen, and she was lovely in that our first meeting before we'd actually started the project let me sort of just spitball different things that I was interested in and different projects that she knew of that I could jump on board with. And then she sort of took that away for a couple of weeks and then came back with, okay, well, here's a couple of project ideas. What do you think? And I ended up picking one that followed something that I was very, very interested in, and it helped me have a great experience.
And can you tell us a little bit about the research project that you were a part of?
Yeah, so my project was exploring the topical issue of medical students on GP placements and looking at where people end up in their careers, given that we have such great GP shortages nationwide. So it was a focus on medical student experiences while they were on a GP placement, whether it was with just GPs or also rural generalists. So it could include both, to see sort of the positive and negative outcomes that students had, and then looking at the career outcomes. So what sort of specialties did they go towards? Did they go towards GP and rural journalism, or did they pick something else? And then also with the locations that were offered, were people more likely to pursue a rural career or a rural internship or whatever junior training from there because they had a good experience on a rural placement, or were those that didn't have any sort of exposure, were they ever going to pick rural or not? So sort of having a look at those sorts of trends.
What was it like participating in a research project remotely like this?
I actually found it very convenient in the sense that I was able to do something that I wouldn't necessarily have had the opportunity to do in Gippsland. I know a lot of the other Gippsland projects were audits for the hospital. And while that's, you know, equally interesting, having something that was focused on GPs, given that I'm interested in following rural generalism as a career, it was really great to be able to do that. On the downside, I am quite a social, chatty person. So I did at times find it a little bit hard to get myself to sit down and work, you know, in that 9 to 5, 5 days a week when I was at home. So quite a few adjustments for myself there, but I certainly learned a lot more about my learning and working styles that working from home is never going to be something I'm ever going to be able to do full time.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of your career plans, working towards being a rural generalist, did this help in terms of working towards that?
I think it's confirmed my sort of passion for that area, given that I've been born, schooling, all grown up in Gippsland, knowing that I'm definitely going to pursue that. I think it sort of highlighted a little bit too how I'd like to probably be involved in the education side of things of medical students, because I think if I didn't have the amount of, you know, mentors and opportunities that I have had on rural placements, I never would have pursued rural generalism. And then this project has sort of highlighted that there's a lot of work that goes on in the background to try and shape these placements that we get as students. So I think it's probably highlighted things that I didn't quite know about myself, but then also just enforced that, like, yeah, I am following that sort of stereotypical pathway. I've had a good experience on my rural GP placements, so I'm going to pursue it in the future.
What was it like working with someone who was leading the research and it's their sort of topic, their kind of vision?
Yeah, so I think I was very fortunate that even though Rebecca did have, you know, an idea of what the project was going to look like and what sort of findings they wanted to get out of it, it was still very much up to me to direct where it wanted to go. So initially the project wasn't necessarily looking at the differences between metro and non-metro placements and careers, but that's something that's very important to me and something I'm very passionate about. So they were very happy to let me sort of add that into people. It was very much up to me to direct where the study went and what sort of help I needed along the way.
You mentioned earlier that this has sparked a bit of an interest in education. Has it also given you a good taste of what research is like?
Yeah, so I think I'm also fortunate that I have a bit of a research background. I did an undergraduate Bachelor of Biomedical Science where we did quite a bit of research. I had some good exposure there. But I think this was a different sort of research in that, you know, we'd done a group assignment with a systematic review, but otherwise every other bit of research in biomed was very lab-based. So it was really nice to do something that was a bit remote because now I could actually see myself doing that sort of creating, you know, a scoping review that finds out all this information on a topic. Being able to do that a couple of days a week within my like working professional life, I could actually see that happening. I know it's definitely not something I'm going to do full time, but I think, you know, having one or two days here and there, I could definitely see myself doing that now.
Are there any tips or tricks you'd have for someone who's doing this program to try and get the most out of it?
Yeah, I think the big thing is to go in with an open mind. So a lot of people can be quite closed off to research. I certainly wasn't as open to it after my biomed experiences, thinking that research was this full-time lab-based, you have no life, it's boring. And I sort of went into it a bit more open-minded with the ideas that, yes, okay, it was a requirement of the university course for me to do this 6-week placement. And I had to produce a piece of writing, but there are also going to be sort of like flow-on effects that I'm creating opportunities where I'm networking with all these other researchers, which means I can pursue things later on. And that, yes, it has started as an assignment, but my project's now actually being submitted for publication. So it is actually going to have an impact on the topic. So I think if people go in closed-minded, then you're probably not going to get what you want out of it. But if you go in very open with the idea that your research does matter and the experience that you do have, whether you hate the project and you have a terrible time, but you might meet some people that might help you more along the way as well.
These placements are supervised and often form part of a research project the supervisor is working on. For an early career doctor like Jess Painter, the experience of having research assistants and collaborating with another colleague was a uniquely valuable experience.
I'm a graduate of the Monash University School of Rural Health, and I think I was the final year before they introduced SIPS. So that wasn't something that I did as a university, as a medical student. But I really enjoyed research and did a Bachelor of Medical Science, and I thought it would be a good way to stay involved in teaching the medical students and to impart some research tips and tricks, and also to stay involved with the academic aspect of, I suppose, the Monash University School of Rural Health.
Overall, what has the experience been like?
It's been really good. You have a student for 6 weeks, that's the term. Some students are interested in the specialty and the topic that we are pursuing. Some students are not, but it's a really good introductory way to have an understanding of research and how to do a search strategy and a literature review or a research topic. And I think just getting to know the students over that 6-week block, you have only one student and you just get to establish a really good relationship with them over that time. And seeing the struggles and challenges and the achievements at the end, I would say, is probably the overall highlight.
How hands-on is this role from a supervisory standpoint?
Yeah, so I usually catch up with them if they're already in Bendigo via some emails just a week before the 6 weeks begins. And then over the 6-week period, we usually catch up in person once a week, and we have a goal that they'll submit something for me to read or review, and I'll get that back to them the next week. And it's mainly just emailing back and forth and then one in-person physical catch-up a week usually. So it's not too time onerous. You just have to be able to be responsive to your emails and to have an understanding of what the medical students are going through overall, I'd say, and recognise that they're in their final year of medical school, I suppose, and they have some other background stresses and learnings that they want to get on top of as well.
Is this a way to help develop your skills to get into the sort of teaching and mentoring side of progressing your career in medicine?
Absolutely. It's a foot in the door to start establishing a relationship with the students. And you're really well supported by Bernadette Ward, the SIP supervisor at Bendigo at the Monash University School of Rural Health. And so you're able to establish relationships with other SIP supervisors, which for myself are Angus Lee, Chris Cuthbertson, Pam Harvey, and Bernie. And so it's a good step in the door, and it also enables you to develop your teaching and mentoring skills in a really, it's a lot slower paced. It's only one-on-one with one individual, so it's not daunting with a group of students. So it's a really good first test, I suppose, to establish a mentoring relationship, and there are really clear outcomes for what the student needs to achieve. So it's really clear outcomes-based assessments of where you need to get the student to be by the end of that time period. So it's a very clear trajectory that you and the student need to follow overall. So yeah, it is a really good initial step for getting involved.
You're planning to do this again next year. That must mean you've had a pretty good experience so far.
Yeah. Overall, I've had a really good experience. I've sometimes done a joint SIP where I've supervised, where there's been two supervisors involved. And that's a really good arrangement to have if your other co-supervisor is going to be away for a week. It gives the availability of the student to always have someone to be there for support for them. And I think, I've really enjoyed it. Even, you know, when you have a challenging SIP project or a challenging SIP student that challenges you and requires a bit more time and effort than prior, like, you get to see the end result for them, that they finally make it through and get the support. And I think I've been really well supported with Bernadette and the other supervisors. Any time I have an issue where I feel as though they're really supportive and can help us get on track, basically, with that six-week project.
That six-week project timeline is a pretty tight turnaround for these sort of things. So how intensive is the workload, particularly as you get towards the end of the program?
The thing to be aware of is it's student driven. So the student needs to be aware of at the start, it kind of feels like they're probably not doing too much, but they do have to submit a 1,000 to 2,000 word document at the end. So they need to be aware of that from the get go, and to be aware of, because it's a lot of self-paced learning and it's not as structured as probably what they've previously had with university. So it's about imparting them with the knowledge that they need to be self-motivated, self-driven to get this project completed. And you just have to, as a supervisor, ensure that you set aside a physical meeting once a week and then set aside time for marking and providing feedback for the written documents that have been provided. And then there's a lot of flexibility with the oral presentation that needs to be done, whether that's on Zoom, whether that's in a university arranged format, or in a format with a specific specialty like urology or general surgery. And that really helps the student to develop some presenting and presentation skills, specifically as they move into the kind of hospital environment, that they're aware of where they're going to be presenting in the future. So that's a really good medium for them to be introduced to that kind of presentation environment.
At what point do you come in as a supervisor? Are you involved in the process to figure out a research topic, or do you start once that process is underway?
So you bring a research topic generally to Bernie, and she'll say whether she thinks the overall SIP supervisor, and she'll say whether she thinks it's suitable or not and achievable for that 6-week period. And then you get allocated a student. So sometimes the students will get to preference, and this might be a topic they're interested in if they're interested in that particular field, or they may not be interested in, but it's still the requirement that if they're allocated that they complete that project. So yes, it's a pre-arranged project that you get input into what you want to supervise and do. And ideally that's because you would hope to get some benefit, like a literature review or a small audit completed that gives you a little teaser of what you're trying to research. Like for me, I'm generally doing a bigger research project, and the SIP student is focusing on a particular question that we thought might help with the answer. So generally you come with a project in mind, you're then allocated a student, and then you start the project.
What's it like kind of, I guess, deputizing part of a research project you have, or sort of getting that research assistance from a junior colleague to complete some sort of research project from your perspective?
I generally find it quite a good process. The students will come with with differing backgrounds in research experience. So some might have none and some might have a lot. But I think it's a really good opportunity for me, myself, to develop those skills. Because as we progress through medicine as doctors, we need to be able to delegate tasks, but also teach and train skills. And this is a really safe, non-clinical way for you to give that responsibility to someone else and see how they go with it. And at times you have to bring back the responsibility and steer them on a more appropriate course. But I think it's a good skill development for both individuals to develop, that you're providing a responsibility to someone, and are they able to deliver through with that responsibility, or do they need further aid or further experience, I suppose. So yeah, I find it a really good process, and it's a really good teaching and developmental process for even myself, my career. So yeah, that's probably actually one of the best aspects, is learning how to delegate and transfer responsibility safely, I would say. And then at the end of the project, the student, if they're really interested, can stay on with it, or they can finish up and go on their merry way with the rest of their degree.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about the study and training opportunities across regional Victoria by heading to monash.edu/medicine/rural-health. This episode was part of a series of conversations with doctors in regional Victoria. There's more episodes available which focus on a wide range of medical specialties. We're available anywhere you can find good podcasts. The Northwest Victoria and Gippsland Regional Training Hubs have commissioned this podcast to help medical students and junior doctors learn more about training and practicing medicine in regional Australia. There are hubs all across the country, and to find out where your nearest regional training hub is, visit the link in the episode show notes or just search regional training hubs. And finally, this podcast was brought to you by Monash Rural Health, presented by Patrick Laverick, that's me, and it was made possible by funding from the Rural Health Multidisciplinary Training Program at the Commonwealth Department of Health.